At a recent Christian music festival in Seattle, there was a large crowd that had gathered for the concert. And those, usually concerts like that are free, right? Excuse me. And they started, there was a large, even larger crowd that came in. They started settling in. And then they started muffling the sound of the concert by all playing a kazoo. You know what a kazoo is, right? It's a little, I remember playing it when I was in first or second grade. But they all played it, and they, to the point they disrupted the concert. And they caused a big turmoil. And it was all in demonstration against Christianity. They were members of the they got so many letters on this thing, LGBTQ community and the trans community. And you would think they were young people, but they weren't. He said the majority were in their 40s and up to their 60s. And this is after, shortly after the murders of two or three children in a Catholic church, by the way. And I'm glad that we, Mr. Dempsey and or either myself or somebody goes and locks the doors over there. Because the Catholic church, the killer tried to go in the front doors, but they were locked. So he went along the side and, you know, still shot through there. But he didn't shoot long enough because there was police really quick. And we have here locally that there's people vehemently protesting the placing of the Ten Commandments, you know? And they interviewed one gentleman that was, he didn't say, I'm not a religious person, but I don't know what all the fuss is about. You know, there's a list of rules saying we all can say it's not cool to kill anybody, right? And he was telling the reporter that. And he went through the whole thing and he said, I don't see a problem in it. But there were some people that had a really problem and they were going to sue and all that stuff. It's all a common denominator of hatred towards Christianity. And a criminal psychologist evaluated, you know, what everybody was laughing at, the kazoo issue. He said, but that's just the beginning. He said, they do that to see how far they can get away with it. The next part is going to increase. So they're standing by for that. Well, it's a segue to my sermonette. 388 years ago, back in 1630, a Puritan leader named John Winthrop delivered a sermon to a group of people within the ship named Arbella, heading to the New World. He later became the first governor of Massachusetts. The group of individuals became the future colony. Those group of individuals became the future colony of Massachusetts. And Winthrop knew the big challenges that they will be facing as they strive to establish a colony there. And they were not going to be successful without God's help. John Winthrop recognized the golden opportunity that they can be a light of this, of that place of uncertainty and insecurity. He pleaded with his comrades in discourse that they must behave according to God's commandments and stay true to their Christian calling. And this is a quote. He said, "Be made, they will be made a story." This is part of what his speech said. "Be made a story and a byword through the world. They shall open the mouths of enemies to speak evil of the way of God and all professors for God's sake." The people that were against them we'll say, they shall shame the faces of many of God's worthy servants and cause their prayers to be turned into curses upon us till we be consumed out of the good land whither we are going. If we don't follow his commandments, that's what will be made of us. Basically, that's what he was saying. The title of my sermonette is The True Lights of This World. John Winthrop had no idea that his words would again be repeated centuries later by a U.S. senator who was set to become the next president of the United States, which was John F. Kennedy. Follow me to Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. And we're going to go through 14 to 16. And it says here, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do their light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And right now, brother, there's a lot of people that are not glorifying our Father in heaven. No doubt for us, we are all too familiar with the line, the city upon the hill. This phrase was inspired by none other but Jesus Christ at the Sermon on the Mount. As those of us that are in the church, whether we like it or not, we are all like a city upon the hill. People will look at us, they will observe how we think, speak, and act. And how we say, no, thank you, we don't want to do that. They'll notice our character, our behavior, and our attitude. So what does it really mean to become a light of this world? What did Jesus mean when he instructed his followers to serve as a beacon of light to this darkened world? In this life, we have two choices. We can either be part of the darkness and be part of this world, or shine as lights and be different. This world is dying for a light. They're waiting for somebody. People are desperately seeking for a beacon of hope. We have been called out to be different, to act different, and just not to attend Sabbath services. We are to do a work, and that is to become a light to those around us. Now, many of those that are around us will criticize us. They criticized Jesus Christ, didn't they? But that's all that comes with the calling. That comes with the calling. Notice, in order to stand out, you can't disassociate yourself with your working fellows, the people that you work with. You can't say cut yourself from them. You have to work with them. You have to work with some family members. If we do disassociate, what good are we? What good are we without an experience? If somebody lined up, I remember in a carpenter, when I was in many jobs I had, they were adding on to one of our refineries there, and they had a big group of guys, and he says, hey, I need some carpenters. And what I did, I used to work as a framing carpenter for the concrete people. And he says, hey, which one of you guys know how to do it? Do you know how to do it? And I said, no. And he said, but do you know how to do it? Yes. Do you have any experience? No. You know? Basically, that's what it is. If we can say that we're a Christian, oh yeah, we do this, but do we have any experience? And that's what we're all about, being a light of this world. Because we're going to be pointed out. But we are God's chosen people. That's without being said. We are supposed to be different. We are to be a light, which leads us to the question, how can we produce that light? You know, not just say it. How can we produce it? Well, and what it says in John 8:12, you don't have to go there, John 8:12, it just says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We are not afraid of what's going around. We're not afraid. I heard people talk about they were really worried when they heard or saw in the news that it was the Chinese, the head of a Chinese government, the head of North Korean government, and the head of Russia all in one place. And they were all parading, and they were having, and they were at a summit there for a week. And they were saying, oh no, they're conspiring against us. We're not afraid of that. We know. This verse tells us in John, in order for us to produce a light, we must follow the light out of this world. We need to follow Jesus Christ, his teachings. We literally must be like God in our thinking, words, and actions. Just as John the Baptist said, Christ must increase and I must decrease. You know, we can't be part of the, we can't go with the flow, because we're going to, somewhere along the line, we're going to say, no, we're not going to do that. Therefore, the closer we go to the light, the brighter our light. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Philippians 2, verse 14 to 15. And it says here, do all things without murmuring or arguing. So that's part of who we are, right? If we're always complaining and murmuring, well, yeah, the world around us, oh yeah, we know him. So that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. Remember that blemish. In Passover, they crucified or they slaughtered a young kid without blemish, right? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. This is back in biblical times. He was talking to the Philippians. Back then, man hasn't changed. It's just he's wearing a different suit. Doing things without complaining if you really want to stand out. Follow that scripture. You will shine in this world. Christ is telling us that if we are to be a light, we need to do good works. It's part of us. In Peter 2:15, it says, for it is God's will, that by doing good, you should silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, if you go out and do something, there was a college athlete, a football star, that came out in the news not too long ago. He came out of he had just finished a college game, and he excelled, right? And he was with his father. And at the same time, there was a car that went into an accident and burst into flames. And he bolted out. Everybody was out there looking at him, and with the cameras, you know. And while there was an individual burning. And he went through the crowd and grabbed that individual, him and his father, and pulled him out to safety. So that's doing good. And nobody could say anything when you do something like that. It is impossible to be a light in the world without doing something good. This is contrary to belief of some Christians that all you need is just to believe and you are saved. It's an act of love when you do something towards your fellow man. It is not good that we only have an academic knowledge of the truth. It is not enough to memorize scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. It is not sufficient to understand prophecy and doctrines. We need to do the good works. If not, all that we know will mean nothing if it's not accompanied by good works. Brethren, continue to be lights and fear God and keep His commandments.